There are two Bible readings this morning. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1, reading from verses 4 to 10, and a New Testament reading, Luke 13, reading from verses 10 to 17. The call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." And reading from Luke, Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Amen.
Thank you, Jen. We've just heard two passages read: Jeremiah, the Old Testament reading for today, and Luke, the Gospel reading for today. Although the readings are about 600 years apart, they are both very similar. Both are about carrying out the task given by God. This proved somewhat difficult, frustrating even at the time, and it continues to do so today for some people. Jeremiah was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah, and this was before Judah fell to the Babylonians. God had called Jeremiah when he was about, we think, between 17 and 20 years of age. And as a prophet, Jeremiah had one message throughout his entire ministry, and it was to warn Judah about the consequences of breaking their covenant with God. And they were doing this breaking of the covenant by worshipping false gods and by being unjust to those around them. The consequences of breaking the covenant: the impending destruction of Jerusalem and their exile to Babylon. As you can imagine, this didn't make Jeremiah a very popular prophet. He suffered greatly. Yet, Despite how he was treated for delivering God's message, he's known as the weeping prophet. And this wasn't because he was weeping for himself, because of some of the very brutal things they did to him throughout his life, but rather because of the emotional depths of his laments and his sorrow over the fate of his people, which I think rather reminds us of someone in the New Testament. In our reading from Luke's Gospel, Jesus heals on the Sabbath, and this causes much anger in the ruler of the temple, and we'll come back to that later. In healing this woman, Jesus had done so much more than physically heal her and make her better. Now, we think he saw the woman. She did not call out to him because she was so stooped she could only see the ground. She could not physically stand upright. So Jesus sees her, has compassion. He heals her. He heals her of her illness, but also her sin. Now, this would have been really difficult, something the people there would have struggled with, because this was a time and a culture when it was believed that illness was a result of sin, that children carried the sin of their fathers. And in their eyes, who could heal such sin? As soon as she's healed, she starts praising God. But then Luke records the words of the ruler. And as he speaks, you can almost sense the deathly quiet that descends in the room. The ruler has spoken. But interestingly, he's not addressed his words to Jesus. He's spoken to the people there. Could he not face Jesus? And if so, why not? He quotes the law to the people, stating that there are 6 days to work. Work is not carried out on the Sabbath. He's quoting the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And he goes on to say, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. The difficulty for the ruler was he saw the law God had given the Jews, as having been broken. And this is where, with a bit of license, the PowerPoint comes in. The Pharisees started out by wanting to ensure the law was kept. And to do this, they tried to make it easier for people to follow the law. So they made up lots of extra little rules to try and stop people unintentionally breaking the law. It only made things more difficult. You can see some of the rules there. Some of them, they're there for a good reason. Stay on the designated trail. Yep, I do that. I never liked the no ball games allowed. I come from Manchester. There was a place called Hume. It was full of flats, tall, high-rise flats, surrounded by acres of green, And all it said was, no playing on the fields, no playing on the green. And I used to think, all those children in those flats, nowhere to go. How can you have a rule like that? Obviously, rules about driving the right way are very helpful. But some rules are not helpful. In this passage, the word used for work in the commandment is not defined, and it allows for various interpretation. Healing had become seen as work, and therefore not allowed on the Sabbath. Therefore, a good Jew would not do this. He would not work at all. You have to think about this, and you have to think, yeah, did the Pharisees really think this through when they said this? So instantly, Jesus has been cast here as a bad Jew. We would shun him. But Jesus, by carrying out this healing, enhances the Sabbath observance. He's not destroying it, because acts of compassion are holy work. Jesus is carrying out holy work, which is allowed on the Sabbath. In healing, Jesus is proclaiming the good news to everyone there. And he points out to the ruler that they work on the Sabbath by caring for their animals. As we heard, you look after your animals, you feed, you water them on the Sabbath. Why shouldn't I help this woman? You're breaking your own laws. You're working by untying your ox and taking them to water and to feed. Therefore, they shouldn't really, you know, they should be caring for this woman on the Sabbath too. And at this point, the deadly silence lifts as the people rejoice in what Jesus has said and is doing. The ruler is put to shame. Humiliated is a word used in the reading. And he would have been, because as the ruler of the synagogue, he was a well-respected member of society. He had to have a good knowledge of Jewish law. He was responsible, this might sound a wee bit familiar now today, for ensuring services ran smoothly, that order was maintained during worship, who read from the scripture, and so forth. But this Sabbath, much to his annoyance, or much to his not understanding, the rules had not been followed, and he lashed out. As I said earlier, he was angry. Angry at the woman for being healed on the Sabbath, angry that the rules, the traditions, had been broken. The ruler thought his understanding of the law, their understanding in that area, was the only interpretation possible. He hadn't grasped that the Sabbath day was made for our restoration, and that just might include physical healing. And as Mark tells us in chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, the ruler wasn't alone in this. Many Pharisees fell into this trap of interpreting the law for its boundaries on others, rather than for its calling on themselves. They'd fallen into a pattern of obedience to the law rather than following what God had said and meant in the law. Is that something Christians do today? Somehow, do Christians find themselves beholden to traditions that have grown up in the church we go to, probably without realizing it. When I was a session clerk, I would suggest something to my Kirk session, only to be told, we don't do that here. And I'd ask, well, why not? No, this is the way we've always done it. This is a country church, Lynn. This is what we do. Is it because this is the way we've always done it? A good enough reason? Because sometimes, perhaps, as Christians, we forget that these traditions that we follow, and some of them are really good and we should be following them, themselves once started out as innovations that were needed. But perhaps they've ended up becoming entrenched as a tradition to follow, something that can't be changed. And is that a good thing? Because we belong to a church, a reformed church, and our reformed church is always constantly reforming. It's always listening to God. And in that continual reformation, things will go, other things will be introduced. Through our listening to the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit. And more importantly, what kind of fruit do we bear as Christians if we are bound to traditions that have grown up around our faith, rather than being bound to our faith itself? Are we ready as followers of Jesus to have hearts and minds for a God who is always doing something new? Remember, Jesus was dangerous. When Jesus was on this earth, he was considered dangerous for the good news he gave us. So do we have hearts and minds for a God who is always doing something new? Or are we content to stick with what we know and to say to God, don't want to do that just now, thank you. It's really nice the way we are. Things are going well. We've got some people, we've got regulars. But if we stay in our comfort zone, we're going to miss out, not only in growing in and with God, but in the opportunity to serve him further. And this is where I began. These two passages speak to us of loving service to God, of listening to God, of carrying out what he asks. Jeremiah showed us God equips those he calls for the task ahead. And even though terrible, terrible things happened to Jeremiah, he remained faithful to God. He knew God was unchanging, that God would bring his people back into a relationship with him because God loved them. God was working through Jeremiah to bring change and restoration. People, they refused to listen. Ultimately, as we know, only Jesus could reunite God's people with him. Whilst on earth, Jesus strove to show that the kingdom had been inaugurated. It's begun. It's here. Like Jeremiah, Jesus preached the message of salvation. But as we know, not everyone accepts it. What can we do to help? What is God asking us to do? Whatever it is, you can be sure he will equip us for the task We just have to listen with hearts and minds for God and to trust in what he says and tells us to do.